Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with everybody today on this third day of January 2018. Did I tell you what the number 2018 means, by the way? That's right. The Hebrew number for 2018 means, you're going to love this, but maybe not. It means destruction, overthrow, overturn. How about some strongholds of the devil being destroyed in your life this year? How about the things that the devil has built up in your life being overturned or overthrown? What about the destruction of the strongholds of the devil in 2018 so that there is not a trace remaining of the satanic influence in your life, so that you could rise and shine and bring the light of the gospel and bring the glory of God into this earth in a fearless warrior way that will complement the strength of the commander-in-chief of the armies of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? What about a righteous revolution within your own land and in my own land, in our hearts and our minds, 2018, to destroy, to overthrow, to overturn? You remember in the Gospel of John, when Jesus courted a whip, he went into the temple and he saw all these people selling sacrifices. They were defiling and desecrating the temple of God. So our Lord Jesus Christ courted a whip and he went in there and he began to throw over and to overturn the tables of the money changers. And he began to release all the sacrifices of the birds and the sheep and all the things that were being sold in the temple. And he released them. And he had zeal. And the disciples remembered that this was the zeal of the Lord. Oh, it is time for the righteous zeal of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the works of the devil are going to be overthrown. The works of the devil are going to be destroyed. It's actually written in the gospel, or excuse me, in the epistle of John, that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, here's the good news. Jesus has already done his part. He's already destroyed the works of the devil. He's already abolished death. He's already overcome all things. He has the keys of hell and death, and he hands them to you so that you can go and do as he has done. He has authorized you. He has empowered you to get into the fight and start executing the judgment that has been written. And you may be saying, well, wait a second. What do you mean he's already done it? What do you mean I have this victory? Oh, I've got to read to you Hebrews today, Hebrews chapter 2. And I know my friend Daniel's going to be calling in from Australia today, but I got to get this out there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse, listen to this, about Jesus Christ. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, who's the captain of our salvation? Jesus the Christ is the captain of our salvation. How was he made perfect? Through sufferings. Now, verse 11, for both he that sanctifies, which is Christ, and they who are sanctified, that's us, are all of one. In other words, we're the same substance with the Father when we're born again. And this is why he says he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, we are his brethren. And then he goes on in verse 14 and he says this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. And through death," now listen, "through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." When you're afraid of death, you are subject to bondage. But Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death. And if that's not enough, let's go to Timothy. I love these verses in Timothy chapter 2, where we're told this. We're told this. Wait, get out of Thessalonians, and let's go over here to Timothy. And these are just powerful truths, folks. These are just absolutely powerful truths. I'm in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and here's what it says. Here's what it actually says. All I have to do is get there. Here it is. Now, oh, come on. Why did they move it? Somebody move the scriptures around. Why do they do that all the time? You know, I have to watch. Let me get over here. 2 Timothy, where are you? Where did you go? Is it 1:10? Could not be. I apologize, folks. Here we go. There it is. All right. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1. I don't know why they moved it. It used to be in chapter 2, I'm pretty sure. But all right. But here's what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, let's go back to verse 9, "who has saved us." So we know what it's talking about here. It's talking about Jesus, "who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Wow. "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." Watch. "Who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." What did he do? He abolished death. And in Hebrews, he destroyed him that had the power of death. Dear saint of God, I want to encourage you today to arise and shine, for your light has come. Let illumination, let understanding, let clarity, let brightness, let happiness and joy arise in your spirit, for death no longer has any power over you, because you are a child of the resurrection, and the firstborn son of God was raised from the dead, and surely he has promised that those who believe and trust in him will be raised from death as well. Death has no more dominion over you as a believer. If this physical body were to die, you would simply transition your eternal soul into another body. And the promise of God in 1 Corinthians 15 is that the saints of God are going to get glorified bodies that never get sick, never die, no more memory of the past, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more disease, no more bad feelings, nada. It doesn't exist. Oh, the inheritance that is waiting for you, beloved, is beyond outrageous. But before I go any further, because I could get a preach on going here, let me welcome my dear friend and brother all the way from Australia, Daniel Seckham. Daniel, good morning, sir. God bless you and welcome to the broadcast. How are you today?
God bless you, Brother Vincent. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you once again, and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you too, dear sir. And what is the New Year report? What did the Spirit of God tell you about 2018?
Well, that's a very open-ended question. Well, one thing I believe that has been on my heart is, I believe that it's, to be completely honest with you, I believe 2018 is going to be a year of great shaking. Mm. It's going to be a year of great shaking. But that said, along with the shaking comes a great refining among God's people. And, you know, whenever the devil is enraged and goes to great lengths to shut down the people of God, the true church explodes in growth, and it explodes in revival. You know, it's interesting because the Chinese church, when they pray for the West, they're praying for they're not praying for revival in the way that us Westerners pray for revival, you know, because we always pray for the great movement of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders and yeehaw. You know, that's not what the Chinese church is praying for. The Chinese church is praying that, and this might sound strange to people, to some people, but the Chinese church is praying that we get persecuted. That might sound weird, and why on earth would you ever pray for something like that? But they know that when persecution comes, that the church will explode in great revival. That seems like a little bit of a contradiction in terms, but it's not. When you think of when the greatest explosions of revival and growth have ever happened in the church's history, it always happened in the midst of great persecution. Now, our church father Tertullian once said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." He said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And he's absolutely right. The period in history where the church exploded the most in church growth was in the immediate aftermath, or in the first and second century, where the persecution was at its absolute peak. That's when the church exploded and grew the most. So I believe there's going to be a time of great shaking. I believe that the church is going to be under assault under two fronts. And that front is in the East is primarily through Islam, and in the West it'll be primarily through the aggressive left, which is what we're seeing happening more and more so. And we have seen some testimonies of Christians who have been copping fines and things like that because of their standing on the Word of God. You know, Vincent, I believe it's just a matter of time. I mean, where Christians will be sent to jail. Now, we know that Kim Davis spent a few days in jail in regard to, you know, that she was the Shire clerk, a Kentucky clerk who declined to hand out marriage licenses 2 years ago. But I believe that there will be Christians who will be going to jail, and they'll be sent there for a significant amount of time. So I think that we're beginning to see more and more of a unleashing of satanic rage, because what we're seeing is that the world, how can I say, the secular world, that secular society, is becoming increasingly wicked. They are in moral freefall. Now, as a result of being in moral freefall, the speed in which they descend into wickedness is it is matched with their hatred of anyone who represents the good. And that always goes in hand in hand. The more wicked they become, the more they will hate people who stand for righteousness. And Jesus mentioned this in John chapter 3. He said, "This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light." So they hate the light. And as George Orwell said, he said, "The further a society drifts away from the truth, the more they will hate those who speak it." And that is exactly what we're seeing happening at the moment. So, yeah, that's my thoughts in regard to 2018. I think it's going to catch a lot of people by surprise. I think there's going to be some great shaking. And the chaff of the church, the ones who have fallen away that Jesus prophesied said would happen in the last days, we will see them fall away by the wayside when persecution starts to get real. But the faithful church will stand firm and stand true. And this is what we'll see happening more apparently in the as we get closer to the last days.
Well, very good. And you know, on the other side, as you're talking, what I'm hearing is harvest is here. There's an article that just came out about what's going on in Iran with the major protest, and I thought it was outstanding because it puts things in perspective that before the gross darkness makes its final call upon the mind of man, we're living in a moment, in my mind, where there's no doubt that God is saying, let there be light. It's like the last expression of God's glory before everything closes out and that great tribulation comes, and we're being told that it's reminiscent of the conversion of tens of millions of Chinese behind the cover of the bamboo curtain. They're saying that what's happening in Iran right now is that there are thousands of Iranians every day that are converting to faith in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there was a guy you would know, Reza Safa, who wrote a book in 2006 that was titled The Coming Fall of Islam in Iran. Thousands of Muslims find Christ in the midst of persecution. You know, this is a powerful moment of harvest. Harvest is not coming. Harvest is here, and the laborers are few. And, you know, we in America, like you said, we sit back and, you know, just kind of lollygagging around. Meanwhile, missionaries are laying their lives down in these foreign nations, and these brothers and sisters of ours are giving their life at the expense or giving their life to Christ at the expense of their own life, suffering great persecution in other places around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would strongly encourage people to have a look on my YouTube channel, on Israel, Islam, and End Times YouTube channel, and look for an interview that I did with a man called Dr. Hormoz Shariat. That's Dr. Hormoz Shariat. Dr. Hormoz Shariat is regarded as the Billy Graham of Iran. He is the Billy Graham of Iran. He sees tens of millions. He sends tens of thousands of Iranians coming to Christ. He's just got an incredible testimony. Like, his ministry has reached millions. And the way that he does this is through satellite TV. So many of these Iranians have satellite TV on their rooftops, and they're able to get all these TV channels that are not the traditional television channels that are offered by the state. So they tune into TV programs that Dr. Hormoz Shariat does from the United States, and the gospel is beaming into their living rooms. And thousands and thousands and thousands of them are coming to Christ, which is so exciting. One of the things that Dr. Hormoz Shariat mentioned in my interview with him, which I thought was astounding, he said Iran is the only country where Islam is on the back foot. It's retreating. And I thought, wow, what a statement to make, where Islam is on the retreat and it's dissipating. And I think that's an extraordinary. And think about this, the fact that Iran is the bastion of Shiite Islam. It's the bastion of Shiite Islam. This would be a major, major, major blow to Shiite Islam if the regime is dismantled. This would be huge. And us Christians need to keep praying and praying and praying that this... very exciting times.
Isn't it interesting that the idea is that by 2030, I mean, they've literally said this, by the year 2030, if we ever got that far down the road, that China would be on course to become the world's most Christian nation within 15 years. That's where everything's going, where China would be the most Christian nation in the world. And you don't hear this by the news media. There's a total blackout of what's really going on in Iran, where, you know, they're talking numbers, 384,000 Christians from all backgrounds in Iran. It's an amazing thing that we don't hear a lot about. And I have to believe that if what Jesus did with the Israelis, when he says, you know, the kingdom of God's going to be taken from you and it's going to be given to somebody that's going to bring forth more fruit. And there is a time where the Lord will look at the church in America, the church in the West, and say, you know what? You guys have totally changed the gospel into a self-serving formula for personal success. And I'm walking away from this whole thing. You guys are going to be consumed by this greed and covetousness that's being preached. And I'm going to go to places where people are willing to lay their lives down again for their faith in who I am. And the Lord would leave the vineyard. I mean, he would leave the vineyard of the West and go to these places where people are suffering and coming to a genuine faith in Yeshua or Isa to the Islamic world. And, you know, find that zeal, find that desire, find that all out, all in. I'm a servant of the Lord. Here's my life. Do with me what you will. And, you know, and I would say to the churches in Iran and China, do not follow the example of the churches in America. Would that be your advice? I mean, if you were to, you know, direct these churches, where would you show them that they should emulate? Where's the model? Where's their example?
Well, I think a lot of these churches in the East are going to put the churches in the West to shame. And again, you know, we talk often about how there's a correlation between the system of the beast and the system of the prostitute, or the realm of the beast and the realm of the prostitute. We talk about Babylon the harlot, and then we also talk about the beast representing Islam. And I think there's a very clear distinction in regard to the persecution and the struggles and the makeup of the church in those two particular camps, in those two particular spheres. The churches that are in the realm where they come up against persecution from Islam in the East are the ones that are truly, truly the church of Jesus Christ. These are the ones who endure great suffering for his name. And they basically are graced to wear martyrs' crowns of the martyr. Where here in the West, we're too busy consumed with, you know, your best life now, having your best life now. We're running after treasure and running after all these different things that the Bible never ever cared for us to go after. So it's really quite frustrating. I think the churches in the West is going to be in for a really big shock when they realize just how far they have fallen. I think of that scripture in Revelation where it says, consider the height from which you have fallen. I think that's really apt, because we don't realize just how far we have fallen from where we should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And here, where we're going, looking at a great falling away, where people are not falling away and saying, well, I don't believe in Jesus, but they're falling away from the truth of the gospel, the penetrating power to bring a sanctified life, the penetrating power to bring a transformation of life, a new creation. You know, the power of the gospel, not the philosophical, historical book, but the living word of God, piercing men's hearts and minds, changing their lives into the very image and likeness of Christ. And while we're giving that up and pursuing all this other stuff, listen to this. I mean, I mentioned earlier that there were about 384,000 Christians. Well, that goes back to an old prayer guide from Operation World. But the reality is that the number of Iranians that have converted to Christ is now at over 3 million. I mean, over 3 million Iranians are converted to faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, you know, even in the subterranean of Africa, they've grown. What was the number here? This is very interesting as well. The population that is Christian in sub-Saharan Africa climbed from 9% in 1910 to 63% in 2010, and much of this growth occurred in the midst of Muslim majority populations. So Jesus Christ is being proclaimed, and you've got to thank God for the people that are proclaiming the message there.
Oh, absolutely. And again, this is where faith gets very, very real within these Muslim nations. One person of mine who I believe is he's a hero in my eyes, and he's even younger than me. The guy is in his early 30s. His name's Dalton Thomas, and he runs a ministry called FAI, which is called Frontier Alliance International. He is based right now, he was based in northern Iraq. Figure that. But now he's actually based in the Golan Heights in Israel, and he actually does missions into Syria, where he goes into Syria and he sets up medical stations where the wounded and the sick from places from within Syria come to these medical stations and receive medical help. Not only do they receive medical help, but they also receive the gospel. And I just think, wow. I just pray, Lord, give us hearts, courageous hearts, where we can go to places like this where, you know, where it says in Revelation, for they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, because they did not love their lives unto death. Oh, God, give us that. Give us the ability so that we would not love our lives unto death, that where we can really make our mark for Jesus. You know, what did Jesus say? For those who love their lives will lose it, but those who forsake their lives for my sake will find it. Amen.
Amen. You know, Daniel, here in the United States of America, there's a city by the name of Chicago. I know you know all about it. And in Chicago, we hear nothing but these bad reports of all the stuff that's going on. And yet here we are with millions and millions and millions of Christian with mega churches and all of these things. And you wonder, well, why don't the millions and millions of Christians from across this country go from city to city and begin to pray, bind, rebuke the spirits that are operating in powerful places in these cities, and going to the capitals where the corruption has empowered the demonic spirit? You see, I don't believe that the gangs and the fighting and the killing in Chicago is just an entity within itself. I believe it begins with governmental leaders, what's permissible in the cities, and it may have a stronghold going back from the beginning of time. But when you have millions and millions of churches and millions of young people that want to put their faith and their energy and their strength, you would wonder, we need to be evangelized as much as the Muslims do in other places, but it seems like our cities are just being turned over to this corruption and to all of these things. Now, we're witnessing somewhat of a cleanup with the MS-13 gangs and all of that, but there's a lot of work to do everywhere in the world right now, and it just is going to require a gathering and a plan, I guess, to go in and do what the Lord has called us to do. He said he wants to accelerate his purpose in the earth. He has an assignment for his people. He's going to cut his work short. It's a time of saving souls, winning in the harvest. And so we do have a lot of work, and there needs to be an activation and a desire and a zeal to really go and win as many souls, even at the peril of death, in inner cities like Chicago.
Yeah, and this is interesting because I was having a chat about this with a friend of mine earlier today. He's also based in the United States. But we were just talking about this very thing and talked about the whole, you know, there's a very, very interesting study to be made about the biblical implications of the city. The first time we actually read about the concept of the city was with Cain. Cain was the very first person who built a city. And then we read about Nimrod and how he built this, you know, and the city of Babel. And we see this common theme that appears throughout the book of Genesis. You know, remember when Abraham and Lot and their herdsmen had a big dispute. And so Abraham said, okay, well, you go off, you take whatever land direction you go, and you can have that side and I'll stay on the other side. And where did Lot choose? Well, he looked down toward the plains of Zoar, and he saw that it was well watered like the gardens of Eden. And he followed his eyes, and lo and behold, there was a city down on those plains. And that's where you'll find, you know, and it's interesting that in Revelation 17, it says that the prostitute sits on many waters. And again, in Revelation 17, it talks about great city, the great city. And wherever you find cities, you find a concentration of sin. Great concentration of sin is always within cities. That's where you always find the Marxists, the socialists, I think about that scene in Star Wars when Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker looked at that particular city, and he said, "You'll never find a city of more scum and villainy than this one." But this is what we find with cities, because there is always that particular aspect with cities. Now, another thing that's really fascinating is when you, I don't know whether you saw, but there was a 3D map that was released after the election. Many of us have actually seen the map awash with red states with that Donald Trump won. But did you actually see the 3D map? There's actually a 3D map that helps people to understand the demographics of the people who voted in the aftermath of that election. One of the things that's absolutely staggering is when you see the amount congregated in cities who voted left, who voted for the Democrats. They were all concentrated within the cities. And I think that is a very pertinent point to make. And this is something that we're going to see more and more as a trend, because it's almost as if we're seeing a great chasm in our culture at the moment. There's a huge chasm in our culture. There's no longer the middle anymore. There is a polarization between left and right within our culture, but we're also seeing it happening geographically as well. We're seeing it happening geographically as well, which I think is really, really interesting. Mm. We're seeing that the left are congregating in the cities. This is where you find them. These are the bastions of leftism and Marxism and liberalism is all in the cities. Whereas in the out urban areas, that's where you find the most conservatives, you know, good-hearted American people, freedom-loving Americans who love Jesus with all their heart, and you find them out in the open rural areas. And I remember reading, I couldn't believe it, but I can believe it, of that woman, I'm trying to think of her name, Joy something, and she's one of the TV personalities on NBC, and she basically said that the Americans living in urban regions are a threat to democracy. And I thought, isn't that interesting that she would make that statement? But this is what we're seeing. We're seeing that happening like that. And there is almost Christians living in among the cities. It's very, very, very difficult to make any headway for revival in the big cities. It's almost, there's a spirit of lethargy that's over the church, especially in the big cities. It's a very challenging place to make some groundbreaking work for the kingdom. But I cannot help but think in Revelation 17 and 18, where God says repeatedly, come out from them. Come out of that city, you know, and I think it's metaphorical, but I think eventually it'll also be literal, where Christians will need to get out of these cities where there is great sin and great abominations going on, and Christians need to get out as soon as they possibly can, as we have seen literally within your community. However, there's been many Christians who are actually, God has made it very clear to them that they need to get out of these cities, as many of people in your community had to leave San Diego. Others had to leave other cities. But I think this is something that God is going to do more and more of in these last days. More Christians are going to be called out of these cities and sent to places like Arkansas and other places within the Bible Belt that God is using as a refuge in these last days.
As Christian men and women, the desire in our hearts is not our own. It is God's desire to see men saved. And I love this because for years it's been made known to me that you cannot trust in the Islamic Muslim religion. If you are a Muslim, you are either going to die at the hands of your own brothers or you're going to go on jihad. But the only right thing for Muslim to do is to convert. And so when I go back to Iran, in a most recent expression of their distress, one of the high-profile Islamic seminary officials, this is Ayatollah Alavi Borajerdi, stated, accurate reports indicate that the youth are becoming Christians in Qom and attending house churches. And the article continues, this is not a new development. Earlier reports had also shown a surprising rise in the number of Iranians turning away from Islam and converting to Christianity. And that's why Fox News could report in 2016 that the number of Muslim converts who are risking prison or death by secretly worshiping as Christians in Iran's house church movement has grown to as many as 1 million people, according to watchdog groups. Something powerful is happening in Iran, despite the intense persecution Christians are facing. And one source has been telling this reporter that it's only a matter of time before the number of these conversions reaches a critical mass, allowing these new Christians to emerge from the underground into the public eye. And it is the Iranian regime that is our enemy, not the Iranian people, many of whom love America and hate what the radical Islamic leadership has done to their country. So he said that we should be praying for these courageous Christians and more boldly stand with these Iranian protesters. It would be that there may many secret converts among them, and we should applaud our government for letting Iran know that we are watching them carefully right now. So as a Christian, we rejoice in the salvation. If the angels of God, Daniel, if all the angels of God rejoice when one sinner repents, can you imagine the rejoicing that is going on in the halls of God's kingdom because of the conversion of human beings that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ and the obliteration of race, the obliteration of gender, the obliteration of culture, where people are coming to faith in God's Son and are having their sins washed away and are given eternal life? That is cause for rejoicing. And then, on the other side of this moment, as you've aptly said, there is a time to flee. There is a time to understand that, you know, the world is not going to stay in happy rejoicing. There's going to be a counter reaction. There's going to be something that is going to hit. And we've been told what that is. We know what that is. And we're preparing for that. But you have to admit that the heart does rejoice at the salvation of a soul.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's so encouraging that the revival in Iran is primarily among the youth. This is what's really, really interesting. In fact, I posted an article on my Israel, Islam, and End Times website, and the article says that the massive rise of Christianity in Iran, especially among youths, continues despite the Islamic government's efforts to suppress the faith. Even Islamic leaders admitted that more and more young people are choosing to follow Christ, the article says. According to Mahabat News, Kushan and State of Christianity in Iran, the exponential rate of Christian growth has been a factor for the last couple of decades. And now even leading Islamic seminary officials such as Ayatollah Alavi Borajerdi have pointed to accurate reports indicating that the youth are becoming Christians in Qom. And by the way, Qom is one of the most it's
visited
a bastion of Well, it's spelled Q-O-M,
because they're waiting for
and it's one of the it's one of the more hardline cities of Islam within Iran.
Well,
and
they're
I
waiting
think it's
for the
so Wahagee. Funny that.
I'm sorry, Daniel. I keep interrupting,
yeah,
but
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a well. It's the well there in Qom where the followers are dropping their letters for years now, waiting for the imam or the Mahdi to come up out of the well in Qom, Iran.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah. And Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi has also been raising alarm at the number of Iranian youths becoming Christian and has blamed foreign influence for the conversions.
Mm.
So all this is just so exciting. It's just so wonderful to see Islam retreating within Iran. And praise the Lord for this. I mean, who knows where this could lead? I'm praying that the Ayatollah regime will fall and we'll see an incredible new state where Christianity can even flourish even more. Now, that I hope it doesn't go down the same path as what happened to the Roman Empire when it was declared a Christian nation, and that's when splinter groups appeared and all these denominations emerged out of differences in doctrine and all these, and then the faith just stagnated because the persecution went. I hope it doesn't go down that road, but I do hope and pray that the church will continue to go from strength to strength.
Amen. Amen, Daniel. And right now, for that one man, that one woman, that one young person in Iran that may be listening to this radio broadcast over the internet, we're broadcasting around the world on the Omega Radio Network. Australia is on the line. We know that over 750,000 people have tuned into the Omega Radio Network to listen to all the different speakers, from Jake McCandless to Christopher Manti to Glenda Lomax to Patricia Xavier. And I can go on down the list. And then on this Watchman program, maybe there's somebody on a computer in Iran right now. I know you guys do computer because I play chess against some friends in Iran on the computer chess every once in a while. My wife tells me I do it too much, so I have to give it up sometimes, Patricia. But anyways, if you're out there today and you're listening, I want to cheer you on. I want to say to you, thank you for taking such a bold stand. You have found the truth. You have found the love. You have found the grace and the mercy of a loving Father. And your commitment to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are the 11th hour people. You're going to get the same reward of those that have been laboring in the field all day long. And I say to you, run. Run your race. Tell everybody about this good news, and may God bless you and empower you through the Holy Spirit, because receiving Jesus Christ is the first step in your journey. It is now the baptism of the Holy Spirit and an empowerment to go out and shine as lights in the world in which you live. And yes, even at the expense of your life, I cheer you on. I bless all the Iranian people that are converting to faith in Jesus Christ. You are our brothers. You are our sisters. May God raise up a righteous revolution in your land. May you be the fire starters to provoke the church in the West to rise up and do something in these last moments of this final burst of illumination and light that God would send to the ends of the earth before the gross darkness descends once and for all. Because once that happens, the church is going to be conquered for 3.5 years. There is going to be a blackout, not a overcoming of the light, but because the darkness will never overcome the light. But there will be a momentary eclipse, Brother Daniel, of the light of the church. And right now, it just seems that these light beams of God's glory are bursting in a final expression of God's mercy to the nations of the earth. And there has been a glorious response. And I just praise God for what is happening where people are coming to faith in Christ. May they really be apprehended by God and lead the way in this generation.
Amen, brother. And as Jesus said, he said, work while you have daylight. We need to be as productive and as active for the kingdom as we possibly can while we are afforded the opportunity to do it. Because Jesus said that night is coming. And just as you said, Pastor Vincent, you know, things are going to go very dark. And for 3.5 years, the book of Daniel says that we will be handed over to the Antichrist. And that's going to be a very, very challenging 3.5 years. But as Jesus said, that time will be cut short, because if it wasn't cut short, there'll be none of us left. So these are times that are really going to be testing us. But here's the thing we need to understand. With there will be like a parallel, how can I say it? With the same measure of darkness and evil and persecution that is poured out, on the flip side, there will be equal in proportion glory and victory and great rejoicing when Jesus comes. So this is a principle that God has done all throughout Scripture. You know, even in modern times, we saw this with the state of Israel, that they went through the Holocaust for 3 years. Isn't that interesting? That they went through that Holocaust for 3 years, and then after that, what happened? Well, on May the 14th, 1948, can a nation be born in a day? Yes, it was. And the state of Israel was born on May 14th, 1948. And what a glorious time that was. The fact that the modern state of Israel was rebirthed in God's perfect timing. And that was really the beginning of the countdown of the end times. And ever since 1948, God has progressively been revealing secrets in regard to the unfolding plans regarding the end times. So it's we're really living in exciting times, Vincent.
Well, we certainly are. And we do know that all around us, people are, you know, for example, watching Turkey's descent into Islamist dictatorship. Turkey's a big player on the board. The new crime fighter of the ages is artificial intelligence. Get ready for that. There are messages going on everywhere that understand that the Great Tribulation is ready, and the four winds have already begun to blow. I think things are going to intensify because the adversary, who it is written in the Word of God, is going to have his moment. You know, he's not just going to sit back and let these things happen. There's got to be a rage. There has got to be a response, and it will come, and it probably will be one of the most frightening things on the planet when this thing begins to release, because we know that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what they see coming on the earth. And I believe there's a technology out there. I had the strangest dream last night about this machinery flying around in the heavenlies. I mean, it was bizarre. And there was all this, I mean, I've never seen anything like it in all my life, not on television anywhere, this kind of machinery that was moving around. And I do know that the adversary is going to pounce. I mean, there is going to be a rise of this kind of evil, and the church needs to be equipped and the church needs to be prepared. But even there, in the most equipped and the most prepared people, there is still going to be an overcoming of the power of the enemy. For whatever reason, now there will be a people, Daniel, that'll be in the wilderness. Thank God for the wilderness. And it's not a fearful running thing. It is a provision from God to those who have been obedient in the face of death and have been willing to pick up their cross and follow the Lord. There will be a place that God will nourish the saints of God. And I don't believe that's just in one central location. I do believe that there is a global wilderness for the saints in different places around the world. So right now we have a moment. Right now God is accelerating his purpose in the earth, and that's what we heard over a month ago. He's going to speed things up. He's going to accelerate things. He's going to pour out his spirit. The heavens are going to open. There's going to be an empowerment within the church to do things they've never been able to do. And then suddenly this thing will close up. And as suddenly as it closes up, the rise of evil will come. And this is all about preparation. I can't see it any other way.
Yes, absolutely. This is the time that we need to prepare. And you know what, Pastor Vincent? I know I might be upsetting a few people by saying this, but I think one of the greatest disservices that a man of God has ever done actually came from John Nelson Darby. John Nelson Darby is the father of, well, he was basically the one who came up with the whole thing to do with the pre-trib rapture. Now, I'm a big believer in the rapture. Don't get me wrong about that. But I don't believe that it will, that there will be a secret rapture that will happen 7 years prior. I think this all came about through a man called John Nelson Darby, who, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it, it all came about in 1938 at the Niagara Conference. And he was a Plymouth Brethren. And he came up with this whole idea with this, that there was this secret rapture. And one of his followers was a man called Schofield. And he was the one who took, who wrote, who basically he incorporated all of Darby's notes and put them in the footnotes of his, of a Bible that he published. And that's where we get the Schofield Bible from. And that's really how the whole teaching of the pre-trib rapture took off, especially within places like Dallas Theological Seminary. And from there, it's just gained a foothold. And it's been one of the most unfortunate false teachings, because what it's basically doing, it's basically making so many saints of God completely blasé, and it's going to catch them off guard. They think that things won't get too bad, because when things get really bad, we'll be gone. We won't be here to see what, when everything falls apart. And I think there's a really huge cop-out in regard to that, especially when you look at the Christians in the East, when you look at the church in Syria, who has gone through so much, like, unspeakable persecution, and to think that, well, you know, they got that, but we're not going to get that because we're going to be raptured. No. Listen. The church is going to be handed over to the Antichrist for 3.5 years. That's what the prophet Daniel says. That's us. And so we are going to have our opportunity to shine for Jesus during that particular time. It's something that is, because it's gained such a foothold, it's very difficult to make ground in trying to warn people and to wake people up in regard to this. But if you read Matthew 24 in its proper context, if you read it without any of this teaching, if you just read it in its plain context, you can see clearly that there is no secret rapture. That Jesus says that when he sends out his angels to gather the elect, from one end of the heavens to the other. And this is after the trumpet has been blown. So we need to keep in mind that Jesus did warn in the last days that there will be many false teachers that will go out and deceive people. And tragically, I think many, many Christians are going to be caught off guard when this persecution breaks out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was doing a little research on the timing of that. It was actually in 1830 when Darby, you know, invented the whole...
Yes.
Yeah, it was 1830.
1830,
and it was because
thank you
of,
for correcting me.
Yeah, that's okay. It was because of a woman, I believe her name was Margaret McDonald, that actually, she was a young girl, as I understand the story, and I need to get the facts together. Is that correct? And she had like a vision. She was very sick.
Yes.
She had a vision, and out of her vision is where everybody started talking about this idea.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, and that's right. I'm glad you qualified that. I've actually got three a.m. brain at the moment, so I'm struggling with dates.
I understand. Hey, what I always like to do is if there's an individual out there today that's been listening to the broadcast and they have a question or comment about what they're hearing today, this would be the time to go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. Maybe you have a question for Daniel Seckham or some comments. And Pastor Ken Wagner is on the line right now. Daniel, let's see what he has to share or say. Maybe he's got a good question or comment. Pastor Ken, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor, and good morning, my brother Daniel, at this early hour in the morning for you.
So good to hear from you, brother.
The same here, my brother. I enjoy listening to you every time you get on the radio. I kind of want to bring up one interesting point. When I listened to an interview many, many years ago from a Catholic missionary priest that was stationed in China. And at the time when Mao Zedong came into power and brought communism in full-blown power, and he literally persecuted and prosecuted all of the church leaders that were in there in China at that time. And the interviewer said to this Catholic priest, he said, "You must have been devastated when Mao came in and started doing all this." And the priest looked at the commentator and he said, "No, in a way I was happy." And the commentator was really taken back, and so was I when I was listening to it. And he said, what happened that all those Christian leaders that came in that weren't really dedicated to the Lord but were in there for their own glory, for their own gain and everything else, ran out of that country so fast it made your head spin. He said those that remained were true Christians, true leaders, and were there to help the people. And in that sense, it was a blessing that Mao came in to take power. That blew me away, but it just goes to show that what persecution can be used for the greatness of the kingdom. And people, the true Christians, will push for it and will believe that these things are necessary to a degree to go ahead and bring about the purification of the church.
Yeah, excellent point, Pastor Ken. And would you both agree that maybe there's somebody out there today, if we put this conversation in context and we're hearing properly today what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, is that God is wanting to employ people right now into his service, which is in the harvest. And yet a lot of times people will not go into the field. They will not go because they are afraid of what may happen to them. And it really is fear. I mean, there are some valid reasons that God would not send someone into the field. I get that. But the call to every Christian is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I believe that the fear is the fear of death. And maybe you're out there today and you're wondering, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? You know, I'm here. Well, maybe your call is into the field because the harvest is white right now and there are few laborers. And God has got this big sign up saying now hiring. And he's looking for laborers to enter into his field because he wants this harvest. And so don't let fear hold any of us back. Don't be afraid of death. Why? Because we started the broadcast today with Jesus Christ destroyed him that had the power of death. And that Jesus Christ destroyed death itself. We read that. That's in the New Covenant. And so don't let fear hold you back from a life that may be the most adventurous, outrageously wonderful, expressive, a desire of your heart to explode in evangelism and declaring the truth of Christ out in this field. And when the harvest is ripe, guys, it's not that difficult to win souls, is it? I mean, when the harvest is ripe, it's as easy as saying God loves you and people melting in your arms. Is that correct?
A wholehearted amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Gentlemen, it's time for me to go. I've got a beloved wife that is ready to roll here today. Patricia Joy is up next with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We'll be back tomorrow here on The Watchman, and we will continue and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. That's the most important thing. Daniel, as always, my dear friend, thank you for joining me on the air today. Pastor Ken, thanks for your call once again as well. Gentlemen, I'm going to have to say goodbye until we meet again. And so in our ancient language, shalom. Yes, go ahead, Daniel.
And just before I go, I just want to put out a plug for the upcoming Understanding the Times conference.
Yes, go
coming
ahead.
Up in Nashville on the 9th to the 10th of March. Please Google Understanding the Times Nashville because it's a great conference that's coming up, and it's only $50 for a jam-packed 2 days. And it's free for pastors. If you're a pastor out there, you can be a part of this conference for free. So I myself will be speaking along with Joel Richardson, Jake McCandless, and Tom Doyle, and a whole bunch of others who are going to be there. So I just want to put that out there just to, make people aware of that.
Okay, and we'll continue to do that all the way up through March, Daniel. All right, thank you. God bless you, my brother, and God bless everybody out there. Up next, Patricia Joy. Hold tight. You're going to be blessed. We'll be right back.
Would you drive out there? Yeah. What is it, the 9th and 5th? May, March, 9th and 10th.
Well, it looks like we're having a little technical difficulty. I could still hear Pastor Ken out there. For some reason, our system is kind of going through the wind right now. So we're going to have to let things calm down. And Patricia, we'll just go ahead and invite you right now to speak into this moment. There's a great opportunity for – uh-oh. And Daniel, I could hear Australia still out there. So we're winding down. Patricia Joy, come on in and say hello to everybody this morning.
Well, hello, hello, hello. What an interesting morning. All kinds of incredible things are going on at one time. And it is, I tell you, the work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing's by accident right now. And to know and hear the wonderful work of Harvest, isn't it a boost to our spirit that Iran is fighting for righteousness and Christianity, and multitudes are being saved. This is so wonderful. And yes, it's happened in China. It's happened in Afghanistan. But it appears now like the harvest is getting rich. Would you agree with that? It just feels good to know that nothing is in vain. God has a plan, and that plan is for eternity. Can you imagine eternity? I mean, sometimes it's hard to fathom because it means forever and ever and ever. And what it means for those who have become Christians, there'll never be death again. They will never, ever taste death. And not only will they never ever, or we will never ever taste death, but the glorious experience will be everything it was created to be in the beginning before the work of the beast. So why do I call him the beast? Because that's exactly what he is. It is the dragon, it is Satan, it is the evil one that we are warring against from the garden unto today. 6,000 year period going into 7,000 years. Oh, yes.
Hi, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Paul and I want to personally thank you for tuning in and listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. There are four ways you could get involved right away. Number one, pray. Nothing moves mountains like the prayerful support of the saints. Second, help spread the word. Share the URL, omegaradio.org, with your friends on Facebook and through your email. Tell them you're listening like your life depends on it, and they should too. Third, you can partner with us. If this program ministers to you, then click the Donate tab and prayerfully consider a donation to help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. Just go to our Donate tab on the homepage. We thank you in advance and may God richly bless you.
Do you enjoy listening to The Watchman? It's our goal on each and every show to interpret the latest news and events through a biblical lens, but we're not alone. In fact, we have an army of like-minded radio hosts, ministers, and prophets to better equip you, God's people, to learn and take action when and where it's needed. Click the lineup tab on our homepage to see a full listing of daily programs. Whether it's Rick Wiles on True News or Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, we work together to bring you Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. Please join our effort to help spread the word and support this radio ministry. Send us an email and tell us what's on your mind and how this network is ministering to you. Then call into The Watchman weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time and join the conversation. We want to know what you think. The number to call is 818-369-0326, then hit 1, or go back to omegaradio.org and hit the call-in button, then press 1.
Who these ruling spirits are. They are called ruling spirits, and they rule over nations and cities, organizations and churches and families. And the lesser devils are given authority over individuals. Now they go about their areas of assignment seeking opportunity to destroy. They deceive, they blaspheme the power of God. And if they can find nothing in you, no sin, they are powerless to enter in and destroy. And you may say, listen, I'll always be a sinner. That's not true. Who told you that? It's not in the word of God. But if they find sin, this is their open door, and they will attack with all boldness and destructiveness, because you have given them the legal right through sin. I must repeat this. Only through sin do these spirits controlled by Satan have power. Now, why do I say you could be without sin? Because the word tells us that. Go and sin no more. He told the woman who was found in adultery, go and sin no more, unless what? A worsened thing would come upon you. What is that worsened thing? The enemy's opportunity to come back and bring seven more diabolical spirits with him. Listen, when you sin, and you know you're convicted of sin, all you need to do is get on your knees, because you're going to feel the conviction if you have the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be out of your will. I want to be in your will, especially in these days, your most perfect will. And the Lord is hearing that. He's desiring that with all his heart. He wants to forgive you just like we want to forgive our own children when they come against us in ways that are hurtful. We have that desire, don't we, to forgive them. Well, our Heavenly Father, even greater than anything we can imagine, wants to forgive us of our ways, especially the ones that are selfish and the ones that are filled with pride and arrogance. He wants us to be submitted to truth and life. You see, sin causes death. The wages of sin is death. But that which is without sin has life, and life more abundantly, abundantly in spirit, abundantly in mind, abundantly in the physical body, because there isn't stress eating it away. Oh, do you see? Do you understand? We even fight against the spirits that have caused us great distress, and that is generational bloodline curses. And where do they emanate from? Sin. Familiar spirits from generation to generation. We battle that too. Oh, no, we don't. Do you go to a doctor and he asks if your mother or your father ever had any problems physically, maybe with diabetes, heart problems, cancer? Why do you think they do that? Because it is a generational bloodline curse that may have come upon you, and most likely will, unless you understand the true power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now, this knowledge must be revealed to the church, and we talked about that. But you see, children of God, we are rising up in his strength and driving back the forces that have so long plagued us. Mysteries are being unveiled, which the word of God tells us will happen. It is past time that we expose the myths and the deceptions of Satan for what they are. They're powerless lies. They're blasphemy. We need to know. We need to understand the great God we truly serve and how incredible he is. He created all things. Universes, not just universe. Universes that are still growing in momentum. And he created you. He created myself. Oh, science will say, well, it happened this way or that way. Well, I'd like to see anyone be able to create their own being. Now, they can take what was already given through cells and DNA and what have you, but they have to have that first, don't they? If you will recall in chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, Daniel asked God for an answer to a specific prayer, going back to the ruling spirits over nations. He was praying for his people, Israel, and he was looking for the release of the captivities of his people. And he prayed to God. He fasted, and he waited patiently for the answer to his petition. And then 3 weeks transpired before he finally received the message from the angel Gabriel. Gabriel was already involved in the message to the wise men and to the shepherds to tell them that Jesus Christ was born on earth. Gabriel is an incredible messenger, and we know that he's still existing today. He is a spirit being. He is an incredible great angel. And we all remember who the angel Gabriel is. You know, sometimes we think of angels in fairy tales. Oh, they're not like that at all. They're incredible beings that are so magnificent, it would boggle your mind if you saw one, and many have. They're going to continue to come out through numbers, but Gabriel is a great chief messenger of God. And that's in Luke 1, 26 through 28. If you want to read it, it's exciting. And he did announce the birth of our Savior. And as God's messenger, he told Daniel that he had had a difficult time getting through to him. Now, this is amazing for an angel as incredible as Gabriel. And do you remember why Gabriel told Daniel that he had had to fight the prince of Persia, who was the spirit commissioned to rule over the country of Persia? He was commissioned by who? Lucifer, Satan himself. Now that he is a powerful demonic spirit. He is very powerful. But guess who he's ruling over this day? This same area, which is Iran and Iraq today. Isn't that amazing? Gabriel, angel, is going to bring messages to those that are becoming Christian in that area. He's going to come forth to help them. And then he told Daniel that he, Gabriel, had to call for Michael, the archangel, to do battle against this devil's spirit. Michael is still around, guys. He didn't go anywhere. In fact, he's doing warfare in the heavenlies right now. And we're going to see a lot of activity from that, as many are going to be dispersed onto the earth. And we're seeing it. That's why so many things that are happening are so tremendously, powerfully dark. And so it is happening. The war is on. But we could call upon Gabriel and ask him, would you please get our mighty, mighty archangel Michael to help us in this time? And we haven't thought about that. We can pray to the Lord for it. Now, we also, from this deception, can you imagine the condition in which the people of that area must have been in? They must have been in great darkness, sin, to be giving this prince spirit of Satan so much power. Oh, it's happening again today. And it said and prophesied in the book of Revelation in Matthew 24, in Luke 13, in Mark 13, Luke 21, excuse me, it was already prophesied that it would happen in this time. And it is. It's beginning to happen. Now, Gabriel explained to Daniel that God had answered his prayers 3 weeks earlier, but because of the sin of the people, the ruling demonic spirit had the power to prevent the message from coming through sooner. Thank God that Christians are emerging in that area, multitudes of them. And thank God they are going to start calling on the Lord for help. And Gabriel will probably go and ask the great archangel Michael to do battle against the devil's spirit in that area, because that spirit is huge. It's dark, it's great, it's mighty, it's the dragon himself, and it's because of the God they serve in general. Now, from this account, can we figure out who we receive our messages from? We know from this account that messages come from angelic beings. Through the message of Daniel, we should be comforted with the knowledge that God has his angels on assignment constantly. You and I have an angel, a guardian angel. It's there and working all the time on behalf of his people. We must know that we have multitudes of holy angels working on our behalf. We are not alone in this. They will help us if we are in the right place, with the right heart, and the right spirit. There are many, many more holy angels of God working for us than Satan has of unholy or fallen angels working against us. This is warfare, folks, in the spirit, where it all begins. God's angels are diligently working and ministering to those who are the heirs of salvation through the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Is that not exciting? It's so incredibly exciting and enjoyable to know. I mean, it gives confidence. It gives us the understanding that we have great power behind us. Isn't it wonderful? Truly, isn't it wonderful? This is good news, and it should be a great delight to our hearts. Thought about it lately? Have we considered it lately? You know, we should really rejoice continually and thank Jesus for having his angels work in such wonderful, wonderful ways for us. I think we forget about it, and we need to be reminded. Paul, I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul had an understanding about this as no other. And I have received numerous reports of miraculous things happening to our brothers and sisters in the faith. Reports that can be attributed only to the work of God's angels. They are watching over you right now. Think about it. Consider it. They are watching over you right now. Isn't it a wonderful feeling? A great feeling to know that right now there are beings with that kind of power looking out for your benefit. Can we question the infinite love of our Father? Can we? That love is so great. He has everything under control. All we need to do is to know, to believe, and to have faith. We also know that angels can appear in human form. Do we recall the incident in Genesis of three angels who talked with Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah? Two of these angels in human form went to Sodom and Gomorrah and were insulted by the deviants of those cities that are around today, by the way, when homosexual advances were made toward them. You know, there is little doubt that these angels appeared in the image of man. Of course, their insults mattered little to the angels of God, but because with the power vested in them by God, they could at any time have wiped away the meager power of Satan, and it was meager. But as you know, once they removed Lot and his immediate family from Sodom according to the will of God, they obliterated the sinful inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah from the face of the earth. God is not in agreement with homosexuality. It's in the Word of God in a number of places. It's as clear as can be, but they have taken it. They have twisted the words in Hebrew, made them other than what they meant to be to suit their own desires of sin. The scriptures do tell us, do not neglect also to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels. You never know. You can do that without knowing it. I had a situation once when I owned a Christian bookstore in Temecula, California. And I was cleaning up, making sure all the books were straightened out and that the displays looked nice. And a woman came in and she began to have conversation with me. And of course, as a Christian and owning a Christian bookstore, that's part of the ministry. And I began to tell her of the things that we have been through and how the Christian bookstore became what it became and what it was about to do in the area and how we were hopeful that it'll reach souls. And she started to tell me exactly what was going on in my life. And that her eyes, as she was speaking to me, became brighter and brighter. And then I began to tell her of all the wondrous things that I was learning in the Word of God. And I turned around to put something away to have more conversation with her. And I was telling her of a grievous situation with someone that was hurting because her husband had left her. And as I turned around, she was gone. Absolutely. I mean, I ran in the back. I ran in the front. I ran outside. She was gone. But there was a presence about her that was incredible. I didn't know. Was she an angel? Very possibly could have been, because what was within her was just incredible in spirit. And I know that there are others who have experienced the same, gotten help in certain situations when they were in danger, and then all of a sudden that person's gone. So they can come without us realizing, without us knowing they're angels. So just be very sure you know which kind of angel you are welcoming, holy or unholy. And that's the whole idea, folks. And unless you have discernment of spirit, you're just not going to know one way or the other. You need the gift of discernment that comes through the Holy Spirit. Ask for that baptism of the Holy Spirit, for the gift of discernment. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, read the chapter, so you understand what God has done for his people. Often, people who are Christian aren't even aware of these scriptures because the church has taught them that it has faded away, and it was only for 2,000 years ago. Body of Christ, that is not true. The Lord doesn't keep chapters in his book in the New Testament to tell you that they're faded and gone. So I am asking you, please, to consider looking at that chapter and getting that great baptism of the Holy Spirit if you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and consider yourself to be a Christian. As God's church, this is what we need to do. Now, I want to again invite you to email me, Patricia Joy Xavier, Xavier, at gmail.com. Please, if you have any questions whatsoever regarding deliverance, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your point of view and what you think. And if you desire to get Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, go to Amazon. You can purchase the book there. God bless you. God loves you. God has empowered you with great and mighty things. And have a wonderful, wonderful week.